Father, as we take a moment to hear your word, as we take a moment, Lord God, to really just open up our hearts for what you have for us, as we take a moment here now to look at what you say about forgiving, may we just have a sensitivity to your spirit that would accomplish all that you want to accomplish in this time. We're going to thank you in advance for that. Lord God, for the things that we can't see, by faith we will step forward. By the things that we cannot see you do, we by faith will move forward. We give you honor. We give you praise this morning, trusting you that, Lord God, even during our prayer time, that, Lord Jesus, you are answering prayer. You are ministering to people's lives. You care what's going on. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. How many have ever been hurt by someone else? One, two, three. I'm not going to stop till y'all put your hand up, so you might as well do it and get it over with. How many have said, I will never forgive that person for something? This is the only guy, honestly, he said, all right, yeah, let's get it over with. We've all done that, haven't we? We've all had someone hurt us, and we've all been so mad and so hurt that we said that we won't ever forget. We won't ever forgive that thing going on, whatever it was. At some point, I hope you let go of that. At some point, I hope you, with the Lord's help, are not carrying something so heavy that you can't move forward with it. Say amen to that this morning. I think we live in a society today that wants everyone to forgive them, because that's what we should do. And in their own hearts, carry on unforgiveness. And so hurtful so much that at times they can't even remember why the person hurt them. They just know, I was mad at them 20 years ago and nothing's changed. And they live this life that is outside of where God wants them. Can you imagine what this world would be if people just forgave each other, admitted that they were not perfect? And if someone, when they went and said, I was sorry, the person would receive that and move on, what kind of place we would live in? Do you realize, even as Christians, if it would be in the church that way, that our church would be full? Churches would be full, because at some point somebody said something and they got mad, so they left. Someone didn't get their way, so they left. Someone didn't like what the preacher preached that Sunday and they left. How much more God would be able to work in people's lives if they were just open to forgive and admit they're not perfect. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says this. It's not our text, but it's kind of our kickoff verse this morning. It says this: get rid of all bitterness, lingering, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Do you realize that verse right there, if we take it in context, little bit by little bit, that verse doesn't say get rid of some of your bitterness, does it? It says all. That verse doesn't tell us that we have a special circumstance because of our rage. You don't understand. The Lord wouldn't have put that in there if he just knew why I was mad, because I have this special circumstance. The word doesn't say that we should only be kind to friends and family. We should only be kind to the people that we know. We should only forgive if it's convenient. That verse tells us that we should forgive. We should move on. We should get rid of all of these things that would hinder us. And then we're to forgive as Christ forgave you. Last week we started this series on holiness, and we just right up front I said holiness is not about human perfection. Doesn't that take a lot of pressure off? It's not a, holiness is not about, you know, we're not a holiness denomination because we're perfect people. We're a holiness denomination because we want to be more Christ-like, and we believe that in being more Christ-like that we will be able to reach people for Christ and live out the life that Christ desires for us. It's striving to be Christ-like. We're not perfect. It's allowing God to be in every part of our lives. Say amen to that. Allowing God that there's no secret room that, God, you can have everything except over here. It's allowing that every area of our life, and we're allowing God to be in it. And if we're honest and we take a look at forgiveness and unforgiveness, if we take a look at what it is and what it's not, and if we really be honest and see how it affects us and how it affects those that we've either wronged or those that have wronged us, and what forgiveness does for you and what unforgiveness does to you, we would live lives that are just so many levels above where some of us are living right now. If you turn to Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 21, we see a parable of the unmerciful servant. Very familiar verse. Some of you can just about quote it, or it's been preached to death, and I'm going to preach it one more time this morning because I think for us to move forward, we need to have a forgiving heart. Not only allowing God to forgive us so we can move over and forward in our lives, but forgiving others so that we can regain relationships that need to be restored. For some, maybe they need to make a phone call. For some, it means just to not have this you need to be perfect attitude before we can restore these things. Starting at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brothers or sisters who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Then Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went out and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. 'This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brothers or sisters from the heart.'" We see a picture being painted here. We see Peter approaching Jesus, and we see him asking a legitimate question: "How many times, Lord, should we forgive?" And he answers seven times. And if you look at the text, Seven times was the Jewish custom of how many times that they should forgive. So when Peter said seven, he wasn't just picking out a number. He wasn't just guessing. He was trying to do what would be appropriate to Jewish law. So he said seven times, and Jesus comes back and says, no, 77 times. 490 times. But I want you to see something. It's not about how many times. Because by going 490 times, what Jesus is saying is you need to forgive. You need to move on. You need to allow this to take place so that there could be healing. So when Peter was trying to pull one over on Jesus, say, yeah, seven times, I'm telling you, Jesus, I know the Jewish traditions. I know the laws. And he says, no, 70 times seven. And what he's saying is that you should forgive. And then moves right into an example. He moves right into this parable of the unmerciful servant. And you see that this man owes his boss a lot of money. And the boss got tired of him not being able to pay and decides that he's going to put him into prison and after begging him, this master has mercy and sends him on his way. And that very same one that just received mercy from his master, just received something that he didn't deserve, goes out and for not even near the amount of money and liability there, approaches someone with the same attitude and throws them into prison, showing no mercy. And those that see it call him on it and tell the boss, and of course then the master is upset. And you really see a picture of Christ's love. Why we have to understand how much God has loved us, how much God forgives us, and then how he expects us to come back and forgive others. And if like I said, today we live in a day and age, road rage. When I was a kid, we didn't even know what that was. It probably happened, but we didn't know what it was. But then again, we, different era, different time. But today, road rage. Today, no mercy, no patience. Ever been at a stoplight more than 6 seconds after the light changed? Somebody's blowing the horn. Move on. Don't tie me up. Realizing every day that hurting people hurt people. Say amen to that. I know I use that term a lot, but it's today. Hurting people hurt people. So obviously we live in a day and age that needs forgiving, because if you get up and get out your door, probably by the time you get back in your door at the end of the day, someone has ticked you off. Someone has said something that's hurtful. Someone has popped your balloon. And if you're not able to move on, it just builds up and builds up and builds up. To get to the point where you say, I will never forgive him or her. You don't know what they've done to me. As Christians, God expects us to handle it different. Say amen to that. God expects us to handle it different. Being Christian has never been about being better than someone else. Say amen there. Because you know what? Outside, the very society that we're picking on right at this moment, that very society says, as soon as you talk about being Christian, they're always talking about being holier than thou, always talking about being better than. That is not what being a Christian is all about. It's not about being better than somebody else. It's acknowledging that we needed a Savior and we needed forgiveness, and we want to live that life as close to what Christ tells us to live as we can with God's help. Being Christian has always been about being different. Say amen. We're not to be that unmerciful servant that comes to somebody else and after receiving mercy, just showing no mercy to someone else that needs it. We're to live a different life. Being Christian is understanding the cost of forgiveness, understanding that it's not easy. We knew that it wasn't easy for Christ because Christ went to the cross for each one of us. It's not about being better than someone else. It's about acknowledging and understanding and understanding that we had a debt that we couldn't pay, and that we had mouths that needed correction, that we had attitudes that needed correction, we had behaviors that needed correction, and that we're grateful that God intervened in our life. I look at the story of Joseph. Can anybody not, in their rightful thinking, think that Joseph didn't have every right? Once his brothers came back, after all that they did to him and threw him into the pit, disowned him, left him for dead, lied to their father, and any part of that once God raised him up and put him to where he was at, that he couldn't have just buried his brothers, but understood that he needed to show grace. I want you to understand something. Life is the pits when bad things happen to us. Say amen to that. Life is the pits. Each one of us would say that it's the pits. I'm not trying to say that you should forgive and not understand that and not acknowledge that. Life is the pits when somebody betrays you. Life is the pits when bad things happen. Life is the pits when people do you wrong. But here's the thing. You can either live with unforgiveness in those pitiful moments and be miserable, or you can rise above it. Do you say, you see what I'm saying this morning? You can either live there. Understandable, they put you there. By actions that you had no control of, they put you there. But you can either live there, or you can live in a realm that God wants to bring you out of at a higher level. You can either live in misery or rise above the circumstance and allow God to do something amazing. The Bible is full of passages telling us to forgive. You read the Sermon on the Mount. You read the Prodigal Son. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. If you have an offering, I love this, if you have an offering or a gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. See, I have to tell you, and I've said this before, and I'll die saying it. If I had to categorize myself as a preacher, I'm an application preacher. If you can't grab a truth and apply it, then I think it's just information. Do you see what I'm saying? So when I see this passage, when I see these principles, then I want to apply it. Okay, God, I've felt what it's like to be in the pits. I felt like I know, like, when you bring me out into a certain level, and I know that, man, sometimes there's just the rocket is the end of where God wants to take you. So I've been at all these levels, God. So when I look at these scriptures, I don't want to live there. I don't want to live there. God, I know it's easy, but I don't want to live there. I want you to raise me up. I want to understand these principles and how your anointing and how your grace and how your mercy and how you can take me to the next level is done by your Spirit. Say amen to that. You know, so if I had to put a definition, here's what I got. What is forgiveness? Typically defined as a process. This is dictionary stuff here. Of getting rid of resentment, indignation, anger, as a result of personal offense or a difference or a mistake, or ceasing to demand punishment or restitution. Oxford Dictionary defines it as grant free pardon. And I love that. Short, forgiveness is pardoning. That's the word that just will hang with you, or should hang with you. Jesus, in his forgiveness, pardoned us for a debt that we could not pay. And as believers, as Christians, as those that want to be Christ-like, we need to experience and want to pardon those that have done wrong to us. Now, we're going to get to some things in just a minute, because I can hear you. I can hear your brains rattling. Hang on, you don't know what I've been through. What about this? What about that? For you to truly experience God's forgiveness, now hang with me, you need to understand what God did for you. Truly understand what God did for you. Because it was supernatural that He did for you, and it will be supernatural of what you do for someone else. And freedom, when you think about freedom, we live in a country today, nobody's broke the door down yet. Who knows what next week will bring. But that freedom cost a lot of people their lives so that we could even be worshiping here this morning to keep our country safe. And our freedom spiritually cost Jesus everything. He needed to pay the price. One died for the country, and one died for your soul. And before you can truly experience forgiveness, you need to understand that. Let me tell you a few things of what forgiveness is not. It's not easy. Say amen to that. Forgiveness is not overlooking the wrong. You say amen to that? I'm not telling you here this morning that you need to overlook the wrong. Joseph, in this text that we refer to, Joseph didn't pretend that it didn't happen. He knew it happened. It did happen. He was wrong. He was hurt. He was put to the test. But the final thing is that he came to the conclusion that God was bigger than anything that he was going through. And God was bigger and able to minister to his life. Came to the point where he was honest with himself and said, God, they meant it for evil, but you meant it for good. You took that bad circumstance and they meant it for evil. They meant to destroy me. They meant to bury me. They meant to humiliate me. But God, you're going to take that circumstance and you're going to turn it for good. You're going to make something happen to that. Forgiveness isn't about forgetting. Hear me when I say this. Be smart from the circumstance that you just went through. Be smart. Learn from it. Be smart. Don't put yourself in that harm's way again. Be smart that some relationships are broken because of things done and they're not meant to get back together. God has something better. Psalm 103:8 says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God can forget. We, not so good. But he tells us that he can help us. He will deliver us. And during those hard times, he will help us. Joseph didn't forget, but God used it. And then I want to show you something. There's a difference between forgetting and excusing. Here's what I mean by that. Sometimes we get those things mixed up. We think if we forget, we have to forget the wrongful act also. We think if we forgive, we have to say they're not responsible. And I'm telling you that there's a difference. You don't forgive to forget. Now get this. You don't forgive to forget. You forgive so that your hurt can be healed. You get that this morning? There's a big difference. We live a society that wants you to either forget it, excuse everything that goes on, and expect you to get back in harm's way, expect you to do what they're doing. And he's saying, no. You don't forgive to forget. You forgive so that God can bring healing. It's not even about the other person. It's about what God wants to do for you. God, in by us forgiving, we're giving God permission to heal. We're giving God permission to get involved in what's going on in our lives. And the difference between forgiving and excusing is this. If I stepped on your foot, you're not going to forgive me. You're going to excuse me. Because you understand that me stepping on your foot was an accident. I didn't intentionally go out and stomp on your foot. And maybe even after the aching hurts, depending on how bad I stepped on your foot, you're not gonna need therapy after that. But when you look at forgiveness, the kind that hurts so bad and so deep, you need God's help. God needs to forgive. I can forget and forgive if Fred stepped on my foot. But if Fred wronged me to the point where I just can't release it, God has to do that. God has to intervene. God has to be the one to do it. It's forgiveness, you need God's help. The pain is heavy, it's real, and without God's help, you can't do it. Forgiveness, I mean excusing, you just realize it's an accident. Fred, I know you didn't mean it. And you move on, and it's okay. Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is hard, and it doesn't mean that you always go back to the way it was. Do you understand that? And when God says that you need to forgive, he doesn't always say put yourself back in harm's way. He doesn't say, okay, the relationship's going to be just as it is. It could be, but it doesn't always have to be that way. You know, I shared this back. Well, we're going back 8 years now, but because it happened in 2009. In 2009, I remember I grabbed the board members because I got a call from my brother that my mom had cancer, and they weren't sure all that they were going to do at the time for it, and you know my instinct is okay, Huck, where do I get the plane? Everything's on standstill. That's my mom. And I remember going through all of that and then having a conversation with my mom, and my mom said that she was going to go through this herself, that she really didn't want her sons to be there as she had the chemo and all the other things because of where it was and what was happening. And I remember, now hear me, I remember having a conversation with God that probably I wouldn't want to repeat, because it was a serious conversation. God knew my heart. And I was broken. I'm saying, God, that's my mom. Anybody ever been there? And I remember in the midst of crying, I remember in the midst of being angry, that God says, I know that's your mom. And I can hear it almost like an audible voice. And I'm in my rant, and I'm in my rage, and I'm in my moment, and I remember just as clear as if someone spoke it right now, that I know that's your mom. I know that's your mom. And I remember having that serious talk with God, and I remember that Hebrews 12:15 came to mind. Maybe it's just you, but anybody else just memorize a scripture and at the time you need it, you know half of it? Just enough to know that you probably should go find it and get the rest of it. Well, Hebrews 12:15 was what was in my mind, and I couldn't get it all, but here I wrote it down. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile you. Oh, thanks, God. I'm mad and I'm yelling at you, and you're going to say, hey, look, don't let any bitter root grow up there, kids. And I remember that in that time, that I could either put my concerns in God's hands or I could be out of control. Say amen. I can either dwell in them or I can either cast them off to the Lord. What I learned again as a lesson, the application came back to me at that time, was that unforgiveness blocks your relationship with God. God doesn't care that you're mad at him. Be honest with God when you're in those moments. Not once did I ever get, "Tony, don't ever talk to me like that." All I got was a response. "I know that's your mom. I know how you're feeling. I know that you care. Here's what you can do. You can either let this eat you alive, or you can put your trust in me in that circumstance." So when I say forgiveness is one of the toughest things, and there's other areas, every one of us could stand up here and give times of how you can't forgive this person or that person because of what's going on. It is one of the toughest things that we have to do, but we're commanded to do it. Say amen. Unforgiveness, and I'm wrapping it up here, unforgiveness will hold you as a hostage. It will hold you in bondage. It will cause you to not be able to move ahead. It will cause you to think. Anybody besides me overthink some things sometimes? Most people go, "Oh, I slept really good last night." I'm like, because I can't turn my brain off. Don't overthink this. Do you realize that most likely the very person that has hurt you hasn't given it much thought? The only one that's suffering is you. And God's saying, "It may not be easy, but put your trust in me. It may not be easy, but my grace is sufficient." Some people spend their whole life miserable. And I mean a whole life. Because to me, if you're sitting there and you're saying 10 years ago, 20 years ago, this person did this and for that I'll never forgive them, and they're still in your head, you need to let that go. You need to move on. And you need to not let them put you in bondage. You need to not let them be what you're thinking about morning, noon, and night. Joseph didn't forget. He moved on. He understood that God intended it to be for something good. Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that are called according to God's purpose." Amen? Forgiveness is an act of faith. Forgiveness is not allowing bitterness to get in our hearts and cause a break in our relationship with God. If you're mad at God, be honest with him and settle it. And don't get up until you get it settled. I'll close with this illustration. If Becky was here, she would definitely understand. She's teaching this morning. We like to sit out in our yard as much as we can, and there's two kinds of birds that seem to be there. There's all kinds that we see, but two that struck me as I'm thinking about this. One is the hummingbird, and one is a vulture. We have vultures that are going on; they're looking for rotten meat to eat, and a hummingbird is looking for a beautiful flower to pollinate. And my closing thought to you this morning is: which are you after? Because both birds get what they want. Both birds get what they go after. The vulture will find some carcass, and the hummingbird will find a flower. And my thought to you this morning is, what are you looking for? And you need to decide whether you're going to live in that pit, which is the past, is decaying and dying, or you're going to move on and be like the hummingbird and pick fresh and new. What others do is not your responsibility. Say amen to that. Don't let them get in your head. Don't let them cause you to live anything less than what God wants for you. Here's the great thing. God can bring better. What right now, sometimes we think that I'll never have the finances, I'll never have that relationship, I'll never have the job that this was, or whatever it is. God can bring better, because he has abundant resources. And as a church, if we would ever really truly understand that what we do doesn't necessarily just mean what's in the checkbook. That what we do doesn't just mean for maybe the help that we have right now. We serve a God that has unlimited resources. And I'll close for the second time on this. The one thing to me that's worse than a quitter is somebody that never starts. So start somewhere. Do you understand that this morning? Start somewhere in that healing process. Would you bow your head with me? Father, this morning, I've stepped on some toes and I'm asking for being excused. Because each one of us this morning can relate to somebody that's hurt us. There's things in our lives that we say we will never forgive or forget. Saying that we shouldn't forget it, and we learn from our mistakes and things that people done to us. But Lord God, we need to forgive. For no other reason is that you desire to move us forward. I'm praying today for all of those, each one of us really, that we would think of an area of our life or somebody that has hurt us, and that we make a determination this morning with your help, with your strength, with your anointing, with your guidance, with your direction, with your grace and your mercy, we're not going to let it go on anymore. We choose to live victorious. We choose to walk out of this pit and live where you want us to live. In Jesus' name, amen.